Now, I can't help but think, and I won't tell you how long ago, what a challenging thing it was to come into the mission field. Now, I received my calling at the age of 17, along with one other 17-year-old missionary that I later became acquainted with from Arizona. And we were two 17-year-olds that were allowed to go into the mission field that particular year. In order to go on a mission, I had worked here in Texas part of the time at a dollar a day in my board, driving four mules on a Fresno in order to save up the necessary funds in order to go. And because I was sent to England and my father had to pay the way, he had to sell his favorite team of horses so that I could go. Everything was just great. It was so exciting. I got a new suit, just one, and a new pair of shoes and a new outfit, and that was precious money that I spent for it. And it was so exciting going over on the boat with the former Prime Minister of Canada on a boat called the Empress of Australia. We sailed out of Quebec, and then we hit the storms in the North Atlantic Sea. We were all ill for about 4 days, but anyway, finally we landed in Plymouth and were taken to London where the mission headquarters were. And by the time I got to London, I was a very homesick 17-year-old boy. I was a man when I left. When I hit London, I was a boy. I didn't see anything that looked familiar to me at all except a Kellogg's cornflake sign. When I got on the train and they asked me for my fare, I said to the conductor, "How much is it?" And he said, "A couple of bob and tuppence, ain't he?" So I just changed a $5 bill and I reached in my pocket and held it out and hoped he was honest. I had no idea what he was talking about. So I went up to the mission headquarters, and most of the elders that came over with me, they'd been to college somewhat, they knew all the fellows, and I was a missionary from California, and in those days there weren't very many missionaries going. I didn't know anybody. So they were all fraternizing and how-to-doing, and I kind of enjoyed it the first 15, 20 minutes, but after a while I got a little lonesome. I was sitting over on a couch all by myself, and a great big elder came over and said, "Elder Skousen?" I said, "Yes." He said, "I'm Elder Doan from Arizona." "Oh," I said, hi. He said, "I know a lot of Skousens in Arizona." I said, "Yeah, that's family headquarters, but I'm from California." He said, "How would you like to be my companion tonight and go out on a street meeting at High Park? My companion is ill, and I thought maybe you'd like to go." Well, I said, "Do I have to speak?" "No," he said, "you won't have to speak. I just need to have somebody with me." "Oh," I said, "I'd like to go." So he went over into a closet and he reached down and he picked up what looked like a bag of sticks. Long, round sticks wrapped in a canvas. And he took his briefcase and said, "Follow me." So we went into the Underground Railroad, as they called it. And pretty soon we came up and he said, "This is Hyde Park." Amazing. Thousands of people all milling around. Over here was a communist talking against the government. Here was a Salvation Army playing so loud you couldn't hear yourself think. And over here was somebody else talking about their religion, etc. Just thousands of people all milling around listening to speakers. And some of them selling quack medicine. I mean, there was everything going on there. And here's Elder Doan. He just went right into the middle of that crowd, and he would say, "Pardon me, please, pardon me, pardon me." And he was looking at the sidewalk for something. I didn't know what he'd lost, but he was looking for something. "Pardon me, pardon me." He was looking for a little brass number, which had been assigned to him for 2 hours. And he finally located it. And he said, "Would you excuse me, please? Excuse me, would you move back, please, just a little?" And he got down, and he unwrapped his canvas sack and got out his sticks. Didn't know he was going to build a fire. Didn't know what we were going to have. He started putting them together like Tinker Toys. And the next thing I knew, he had a little platform. And it had four legs on it. And then it had a little stand up in front. And the canvas, he flipped over this top and it said, "Mormons, Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints." And he lifted, when his briefcase, pulled out a steel plate. And he put that across the four legs. And he was about 200 pounds and 6 foot something. And he got up on that. And I held my breath. It seemed to hold. And by this time, I looked out at the crowd, and a lot of people, just as though they had expected him, they were all turning toward him. And Elder Doan stood up there and towered over the audience. And this is exciting. This is exciting. And he turned to me and took off his hat.